KSTL 690, East St. Louis, St. Louis.
This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner, licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers, welcome to Money Mondays live on the air, KSTL Jubilee 690, and live streaming at the same time on YouTube. Listen, people, I got to get straight into it. Because today I want to talk about this scammer culture that we find in the get rich, become wealthy segment of social media. So, hey, listen, give me a call. 314-969-6900 is 314-969-6900. If you have a question about your personal finance situation, a business question, trust me, the information you're going to get from Pocket Watching with JT is non-scammer related, right? This is the information that is going to be right and is not going to lead you down the path of being arrested at some point in time. Okay, so I don't care what it is, your personal financial questions, business questions, give me a call, 314-969-6900. But we got to have a conversation about the mindset of a scammer, right? Just think about this for a second. What is the mindset of a scammer? A scammer is someone that wants a lot, but they don't want to put in much effort. That's what it is when you break it down all the way to the core. That's what it means to be a scammer. You want to achieve a lot, but you don't want to put in the required amount of work. I got this down. A lot of the questions that I've got online. So for those of you who, for some reason, you can't call into the radio station, you can always go to the website. That is pocketwatcher.net. Click the Ask JT button and you can submit your question that way. I'm telling you, a lot of these questions are scammer related. So we got somewhat of a theme today, but I don't care what your question is. If you got a question about personal finance, please give the radio station a call. But listen, my first question is from Lisa. Lisa is saying, will you please address the CPN number issues that is going on with our youth today? Okay, so for those of you who are unaware what a CPN is, get ready to get the breakdown from the Pocket Watcher. So a CPN is what scammers, because only scammers talk about CPN. So there's a good reason you probably have never heard of it before, because you probably don't frequent and be around scammers. You got to be within the scammer culture to hear what a CPN is. But what they will tell you, a CPN is what they will refer to as a credit profile number. Now, many of you may be scratching your heads right now trying to figure out, well, what is a credit profile number and why would someone want or need a credit profile number? Well, here we go. When you have bad credit and you don't want to do the actual hard work that it takes to achieve good credit, what would that be? That would be basically paying your bills. When you pay your bills on time and you actually uphold the financial obligations that you agreed to, you would probably have good credit. When you have bad credit, that means most likely, there's always some special cases, but most likely you have bad credit because for whatever reason, you did not uphold your agreement in some sort of financial contract. You borrowed money in some form or fashion. You said that you were going to pay back that money in a agreed manner, and you didn't do it. That is why you probably have bad credit. So What and how does a CPN, a credit profile number, come into the picture? Well, there's always enterprising scammers that are willing to cash in on your weakness. Your weakness in this situation is that you have bad credit. The other part of your weakness is you don't want to do the hard work to actually improve your credit the correct way. So the scammer steps in with his CPN and says, listen, you have bad credit under your social security number. It's going to take hard work and actually you being somewhat fiscally responsible, something like an adult who actually decides that you're going to pay off the bills that you have and are try to get some sort of settlement agreements with the people who you owe money to. You don't want to do that, but you still want good credit because you want to borrow more money. Even though you couldn't pay back the money that you already have borrowed, for some reason you want good credit so that you can borrow more money. Okay. So the scammer steps in and says, listen, you've got bad credit with your social security number. So here is a CPN, this credit profile number that you can use to establish new credit. You can forget all of your broken promises in the past. Don't worry about all the people who you said you were going to pay back, but eventually you realize and they realize that, you know, you don't have the funds to pay them back. The scammer says, listen, I'm going to sell you a credit profile number that will allow you to establish a brand new credit profile. You can start from scratch. You can get yourself a good credit score within 3 to 6 months because you're starting from scratch and everything's going to be fine. The problem is the federal government does not issue credit profile numbers. Okay. There is no credit profile number agency within the United States of America. What actually happens is this scammer is basically going to generate a 9-digit number, which is going to replace your social security number. They're going to keep randomly finding a 9-digit number that's not already somebody else's social security number. So they're just going to be able, there's different websites. You can go on the dark web. You can go places where they will figure out a way to generate really a new social security number is basically what's happening. And they're going to create this new social security number for you. Now, some of you who aren't scammers and deep down in your heart are probably saying, well, JT, isn't this a form of fraud? Well, congratulations, you are correct. This is absolutely a form of fraud because now when you go to the car dealership to get the new car and you put down your credit profile number, even though the credit application clearly says we want your name, we want your address, your date of birth, and your social security number. That's what it says. Social security number. But you, because you believe this scammer, you put down your credit profile number, in which when they go and run it, there's nothing bad on it because it's a brand new number that they created for you. You just committed fraud. I don't know how many times I have to explain this to people. It's almost mind-numbingly crazy, but here it goes for the 1,000,000th time. Anytime you fill out a legal document, and believe me, credit applications, bank loan applications, stuff like that. This is a legal document. Anytime you falsely put information on a legal document to obtain things that you know you normally would not be able to get if you did not lie on that form. Because I don't care how good of an attorney you can find. I don't care where you go out and you look. If you can get Johnny Cochran to come back to life, I still don't see how when you sit down in the witness stand, you go to court and any type of prosecutor just asks you, sir, why did you put down this 9-digit number on this form when you know that's not your social security number? Well, I put that number down because that's my CPN. That's my new credit profile number that some guy online told me I can use to establish new credit. Okay, well, the form didn't ask you for your credit profile number, the form asks you for your social security number. You do know how to read, Mr. Johnson, right? Yeah, I know how to read. And right there, it says social security number, right? Yes, it says social security number. What number did you put down on the form? I put my CPN number down. Why? Because I know if I would have put my social security number down, the bank would not have approved me for the loan. Oh, okay. So you put down a different number so that you can obtain something that normally, if you were truthful, you would not have been able to get. Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's what bank fraud is, people. That is a crime. And apparently, and thank you, Lisa, for writing in and giving me this question. Apparently, the CPN scammers are back out. This isn't a new thing. I want to be clear on this. CPNs is what the government basically refers to as a synthetic form of identity theft, right? It's a what you're basically doing, you're kind of creating a new person on the books. When you get this CPN from whatever scammer online who's telling you that CPNs are legal, which they're not, they're not legal. When you go to this person, what they're doing is they're going to create a new person on the books. Now, this person is going to have your same name. They're going to have your same date of birth. They're going to have all that, but they're going to have this new social security number, this CPN, opposed to your actual social security number. And then when you go to apply for loans or whatever, you are presenting the fake person. You're not presenting yourself because you're not putting your social security number down. You're presenting the fake person that just happens to have your same name, your same address and date of birth, but a new social security number that you're referring to as a CPN. And that is fraud. It's fraud. Now, there are scammers who will tell you ridiculous stories. They'll tell you this. Listen, they'll say, this is what rich people use. They'll say the rich and famous people, they use CPNs. This is the logic that the scammers will attempt to use to convince you that using a CPN is fine. This is what they'll say. Well, you know, famous people like Beyonce, Jay-Z, you know, real high profile people, when they go to car dealerships and things and they fill out credit applications, they don't put their social security number down, because if they put their social security number down, someone might steal it. So to protect their identity, they get a CPN. See, rich people have been doing this for years. Now me, and this is, I'm speaking in the person of the scammer. See, now, but I'm teaching you what rich people do so that you can do it to establish new credit. That's what they'll tell you. Well, take it from me, people. I'm a certified financial planner. I've been blessed to represent high net worth clients. I've represented people who have played in the Super Bowl. I've represented people who you would recognize if you've seen them on TV. We do not use CPNs for these high net worth individuals. Let me show you how that logic falls on its face with the lightest touch. Just think about this for a second. If you needed a CPN, if you're a high profile person, you're going to use a CPN instead of your social security number when you're getting a new car. Because what? You're afraid that the people who work at the car dealership is going to try to steal your identity? Okay. That holds a little bit of weight. But what's to stop the same person who you think is going to steal your social security number? What's to stop them from stealing your CPN? See, what's the difference? If you're afraid, if you're a high net worth person and you're afraid that someone's going to steal your name, your address, your date of birth and your social security number to do identity theft. And so you get the CPN. Well, couldn't they still steal your name? They can still steal your address. They can still steal your date of birth. And then now they just steal your CPN. If your CPN is real, then they can still use all that same information to do whatever that they were going to do with your social security number. It doesn't hold weight, but when you hear this nonsense, you will only be willing to agree with it. Why? Because you have bad credit. And because you have bad credit, you're looking for any source, anything that can come into your life and say, oh, don't worry about it. You don't have to do the actual hard work to clean up your credit, to actually pay back the people who you borrowed money from. Just get this CPN. Now, see, if you had good credit, you wouldn't even worry about a CPN. And you would hear that and say, that sounds stupid. Get another nine-digit number to do what? To hide my day. See, it only makes sense when you're in desperation mode. And it's an old scam that happened, it started a long time ago, right? But now because we are headed into another recession and people are having issues paying their bills and people are having issues with bad credit, now the scammers are popping back up and there's more people who are promoting getting a credit profile number so that you can borrow more money that you probably can't pay back anyway. So that's where we are. That's where we ended up. But yeah, CPNs are fake. Basically, what you're doing is creating a new person on paper that just happens to have your same name, same address, date of birth and all that, but a new social security number. It is fraud. If you fill out a credit application and it asks you for your social security number and you knowingly put down another number that you know is not your social security number, that is fraud. And you should expect to receive whatever repercussions that's going to come your way for committing fraud. So, Lisa, thank you for writing into us and submitting that question. Give us a call, 314-969-6900. That is 314-969-6900. All right, next question that I got submitted at pocketwatcher.net. Just click the Ask JT button. I've got a question here. It says, what do you think of Brother Polite's credit microwave program? He is claiming if you buy his $2,000 program, he guarantees, I'm sorry, he guarantees $100,000 to $300,000 in personal credit in 60 business days. Okay, the brother name is Lizard. He put down Lizard as his name. Listen, Lizard, I am unaware of Brother Polite's credit microwave program. I have never heard of it before. I do know who Brother Polite is. So just because I know who he is, that already puts me in the mode that this is very likely to be a scam. Just because Brother Polite is attached to it. But I don't know about his credit microwave program, but I can tell you this. It is impossible for anyone to guarantee you some sort of credit limit just for buying their program when they have no other details about you financially. It's impossible. That automatically should allow all of the alarm bells in your mind to go off. If anyone says, oh yeah, if you buy my program, it costs $2,000. I don't care if the program only costs $200 or $2. I don't care what it costs. If he says, I guarantee you that you can get $100,000 to $300,000 in personal credit in 60 business days, the man is a liar. It is impossible to guarantee someone something like that without knowing any personal information, not knowing what your income is, not knowing what your debts are. I mean, there's no way possible, not knowing what type of credit. It said personal credit. Personal credit like what? Well, are we talking about credit cards, personal loans? What are we talking about here? Where can I use this credit? We're talking about some department store credit? It makes no sense. I mean, in your heart of hearts, you knew. I mean, the reason why you wrote in, because you know it's a scam. You know it's a scam. You just want me to react to it. And thank you. I appreciate it, so that other people can know. I might need to look into this a little bit further and maybe do a video on YouTube about this, but his brother Polite's credit microwave program, apparently it costs $2,000, where he guarantees $100,000 to $300,000 of personal credit in 60 business days. No, man, that's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. If he, most likely, it's probably another one of these guys online who are teaching you how to scam. They are teaching you, hey, all you got to do is fill out a credit application exactly the way I'm telling you to fill it out. Tell them that you make $250,000 a year when you know you make $35,000 at best, right? But tell them that you make $250,000 a year. And then when they ask about your personal expenses, say zero, or say $200 or $1,000, even though you know you bring in somewhere around $3,500 a month and your expenses are somewhere around $3,200 a month, right? You know what you're putting down on that credit application is fraudulent. You know it, but you are going to allow a person with no credentials, no professional credentials whatsoever. He has no real liability to you as some sort of attorney, accountant, financial advisor, someone that's going to back up the advice that they're giving you with some kind of liability insurance, some kind of professional stature, and anything like that. He's just a guy selling your course on something that 99.9% of the time, these people don't even do it themselves. They are just snake oil salesmen. They know how to motivate you to take money out of your pocket and put it in the bed. That's the only thing these people are good at. They are not good at building businesses. They are not good at any type of profession other than the use of their tongue to get money out of your pocket and put it into theirs. But I'll check out the program. Me and maybe Orlando will do a deeper dive into this. But I can say on the face of it, there's no way that that program would be legitimate based on the information you provided. All right. So, hey, people, I'm still here. I'm going to be here for about an hour. I'm not going to be here all day long. So if you got a call, don't call me at the end of the hour. You call me right now, 314-969-6900. That is 314-969-6900. If you have a personal finance question or a business question and you want legitimate information. Now, don't call me up if you're looking for scammer info. I'm not going to teach you how to scam. I'm going to teach you how to use the financial system that is currently in place and do it legally to help you achieve your financial goals. Now, back to the Ask JT questions on pocketwatcher.net. I've got a question from Dale. Thank you for writing in, Dale. Dale says, a lot of financial people on the internet are putting project income, projected income. Okay. They're putting projected income on their credit card application. I'm telling y'all, I know I knew today was going to be the questions for scams because I read the first couple and I was like, obviously there's a theme. So I'm sorry, Dan. Let me fully talk to your question. Here we go. A lot of financial people on the internet are putting projected income on their credit card applications. Do you know the legality of this? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. What does the form ask you? Does the form ask what is your projected income? Or does the form ask what is your annual income? See, projected income could be anything. A man that makes $35,000 a year can project that he's going to make $10 million this year, right? And whoopsie, he just didn't quite make it. That's not the type of information that any type of lender or bank wants to know. The bank doesn't want to know what if in the best case scenario, if everything works out perfectly, if somehow, some way you slip and fall and win a lawsuit or you win the lotto. They don't want to know that. They want to know realistically what is your annual income. And if you're putting some wild number projected income, you are going to be committing fraud. But let me go to the phone lines. Thank you for calling in. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What is your question?
Hello, JT.
Yes, what's going on?
Hey, man, long time listener, first time caller.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you. What's your question?
So, yeah, you explain. I wanted you to explain something that you talked about a while ago in one of your podcasts. This one, when someone is doing a wholesale, real estate wholesaling, but they don't have an LLC. You explain that there's a way to like file taxes at the end of the year if you don't have the LLC in place yet, or maybe if you do the transaction first and then open the LLC. There's a way to put that transaction under the LLC.
Okay. Well, I'm a little confused by the question, but let me give you my position on what's going on. Right. So if you're doing wholesale real estate transaction is basically what you're doing is you're becoming a broker. You are finding real estate projects that are not listed. You're going to the owner of the real estate and saying, "Hey, I want to buy the real estate." And basically what you're really doing is you're buying a contract to buy the real estate. And then you immediately turn around and you find investors, or maybe you even have a pool of investors that you already have a relationship with, and you really sell the contract to buy the real estate to the investors. And you make your money on the difference, right? So if you're doing that, understand, well, that is it's not as if you're really doing like long-term capital gains, right? What you're doing is you're really getting paid a broker fee. And if you're being paid a broker fee, I mean, this is self-employment. LLCs have nothing to do with tax. I want to be extremely clear. I've said this several times, but I want to make sure that people understand what I'm talking about. An LLC has no recognition with the Internal Revenue Service. An LLC means nothing to the IRS. An LLC is a filing that you make on the state level so that you, the person who owns the LLC, and the LLC itself has separate liability. When I talk about liability, basically what needs to come in your mind is lawsuits. All right. So if someone was to sue the business and they win the lawsuit, they cannot then go after your personal assets. So, for example, let's say I have JT LLC and for some reason I get sued and I lose $1 million lawsuit. Now, JT LLC may only have $100,000 in it, but JT has about $2 million as an individual. Well, if I don't have an LLC, they can take the money that was in the company and then come after me personally for the rest of the money. But because it's an LLC, they have to stop with the LLC, get the $100,000 out of the LLC. The LLC would probably file for bankruptcy after that. And then they're stuck. They can't get any more money out of me because the LLC and me as the individual who owns it have separate liability. We are different. But when it comes to taxes, man, the IRS don't care if you got a DBA or you got an LLC. You're going to be taxed exactly the same. If it's a solo owned business, meaning a business that's owned by only one person, it doesn't matter if you get an LLC before you do your business transactions or you get an LLC after, it makes no difference whatsoever. Does that make sense?
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate it, JT.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
All right.
We got our second caller of the day. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you for calling. What is your question?
Oh, hey, JT. It's great to be on your radio show now. I currently am doing my bachelor's for food business management because I couldn't take just having associates in culinary arts.
Okay.
I was wondering, what is the difference between food business management and food business administration? And what can I use my degree possibly for?
Man, well, it really comes down to, okay, who's looking for that? Now, the skill set, now, are you currently in the program?
Yes.
Okay. If you're currently in the program, what are you learning beyond just the food industry? I mean, are they teaching you management skills? Are they teaching you basic accounting skills? Are they teaching you marketing skills? That's what I have to assume that this program is teaching you, but they're giving it to you in a more focused on the food industry. But you should be learning these skills, correct?
Yes, I have taken a financial accounting class, a microeconomics class. I'm going to be taking a marketing class soon. Just didn't know, like, because, you get your associates and then you just go, you know, I got to get my bachelor's because the world is getting a little bit hectic right now.
All right. Now, here's my question before we even get into where you should be getting hired at. My question to you is, what is this costing you? What is the cost of this program?
Since I started, I've been lucky a few times. It's been around $5,000 each semester. But it used, the tuition's around $20,000, $25,000.
Okay, so it should be about $25,000 total when it's all said and done. And how are you paying for this? Are you cash flowing this?
$25,000 per semester.
Per semester?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a little different here now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's $25,000 per semester. Right. And it's going to take you, because you already have your associate's degree, is this going to take you four semesters?
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about a $100,000 price tag for a bachelor's degree in, what is this again?
Food business management.
Food business management. So you, okay. Now, are you cash flowing this? Or are you getting student loans?
I took a couple student, well, currently no, there's no student loans. Like I said, I've been pretty lucky. So the average person without like financial aid would have been paying around that. But my first semester, I was pretty lucky and I only had to pay $2,000. I finished my second semester recently and I paid like $5,000 for that one, out of pocket, I mean. So currently, I'm just in debt about $7,000 for those two semesters, but I have another two semesters to go.
Listen, man, if I was you, if I'm sitting in your shoes, I'd be looking to pivot, because you're talking about, I mean, even if you don't have to pay it out of pocket, I mean, you're talking about a program that's going to be that cost you around $100,000, even if you get a little discount here and there. I mean, that's a high price tag. Okay, what type of entry level salary would you be receiving based on the, I mean, it's too narrowly focused. It's too narrow. I mean, I like to have certain education that has like a particular industry that I'm going into, but it's so narrowly focused. You're still going to be competing with other people who just have business degrees. Right. You're going to be competing with people who have MBAs and just general business degrees and accounting degrees and economic majors and stuff like that. And yours is so specific that it gets me into situations like, well, what is the point? It costs, to me, the cost is way too high. What are you going to a public school? Where are you going to get this degree? Is it a nonprofit school or is it a for-profit school? That's the question I really want to ask.
Don't remember. They say it's nonprofit, but it's one of apparently the best culinary schools in the world, the Culinary Institute of America.
Man, that sounds like private to me, bro. That sounds private. And me, I'm not a big fan of culinary schools. I'm not a big because the price tag on culinary schools are normally high. And I know so many people who have built a great career off being a chef. And they just did it through working at diners when they were in their teenage years and just grinding and moving up. Honestly, I would be asking, are any of these college credits transferable? Right. If the college credits are not transferable, it's a big loser. If is it even accredited in any type of way? Right. Because you would be getting your bachelor's degree. Right. And then that bachelor's degree would qualify you to get a master's degree somewhere. If that school is not accredited, so where you can take this paperwork and take your transcript and say, hey, look, I've got a bachelor's degree. And then a master's program looks at you and say, sorry, because your school is not accredited by this particular organization, your bachelor's degree doesn't mean anything. Here, I'll take it to another level. if a law school would look at your bachelor's degree and say, no, it's not an accredited bachelor's degree so that you can enroll into this law school. It's not a bachelor's degree that you want. I've never heard of this school. It sounds a little fishy to me, and it's extremely expensive. I mean, you may just need to take the L on the money that you've already spent and just enroll in a public school in your area that makes sense. Because here's a general rule that we look at. Whatever the total cost of your education is, you should be, at bare minimum, that should be what your entry level salary is going to be, right? So if I come out of school with $50,000 in debt, then my entry level salary needs to be around $65,000, right? Because if it's not, then I'm over leveraged with my educational debt. And I feel as if you're a little over leveraged with it. One, I don't even know if this place is accredited. That is something that you immediately need to find out.
It's accredited. Like I said, it's supposed to be the one of the most esteemed culinary schools in the country. And I've been put a lot of money into it, so I hope it's accredited. I'm going to definitely look into that.
The number one thing you need to know, okay, is it public or private? If it is private, you want to know, are these credits transferable? Could you take these credits and transfer and go to your local state college and those credits are honored at that state college? If the answer is no, you need to get out. Because what you're going to fall into is what we call the sunk cost fallacy. The sunk cost fallacy basically says, because you put so much money into this thing already, your mind first reaction is going to be, well, I might as well see it to the end. I might as well get it done because I don't want to waste all the money that I already put into it. But basically what that means is you're going to put more time and more money into it. And ultimately, it would be best if you just cut the loss where you are, take it on the chin and keep moving. I want the best for you. I have no dog in this fight other than the fact that I want to see you achieve at your highest level possible. But I'm telling you, if this school is what I think it is, it's a waste of your time. I don't know very many people within my field, within just general business, who talks about the business degree that they got from a culinary school. I've never heard of it before. But listen, the Pocket Watcher is not all knowing, all seeing. There's things that I have not experienced, and it may be the case. I might look this up a little bit on my own in my free time, but bare minimum, if these credit hours do not transfer to your local state school, cut your losses. Cut your losses.
All right. Thank you so much, Pocket Watcher.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I absolutely appreciate it. Listen, people, you, each and every one of you have Spidey senses, right? If you know Spider-Man, you know that Spider-Man has this power where when danger is coming near him, he gets this pre-warning before the bad guy jumps out of the darkness on him. Right? You have to trust your spider senses. When you feel any kind of tingle that something is a scam, it doesn't feel right, you need to react. You need to do your research. Before you give anybody dollar one, you need to be asking all the questions possible and seek out advice from an independent third party. Please do me that. All right, going back to the phone lines, thank you for calling. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hey, JT, it's Kaylee. I'm a first caller, and I've been watching your show for quite some time now.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it. What's going on?
All right, so I have an LLC. I'm here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a music producer, right? So mm-hmm. I have my own LLC.
Right.
And I'm looking at EIN number, but I'm trying to find out what company I should actually, you know, make a business account with, or like I'm trying to build business credit.
Okay. All right. So when you're building business credit, at the end of the day is you want to build a relationship with a bank that you most likely are going to be banking with, right? You want to build a relationship with a bank. The question is, what banks do you maybe you already have a relationship with, but you have not actually activated or really leveraged? So is there a bank that you banked with? Because I'm assuming you didn't just start doing business. You've been in the industry for a while, correct?
Just started. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Okay. Okay. All right. So if you just started, then it's a blank slate. Right. Yeah. If you just started is a blank slate. So you want to find a bank. Normally in your situations, you probably want to find a small local bank or credit union. The reason why is they are going to be more attentive to you because they're a smaller bank, and you'll be able to create that relationship. What hopefully is going to happen is they are going to see your transactions. That's what happened with the bank, right? The bank sees your transactions. They see the money coming in and they see the money going out. So when you go to them and you're going to ask them for a line of credit that I'm assuming, right, for your business, they're going to look and say, okay, well, we see the activity. You have more than $12.38 in your bank account. Right. We know that you're making money in your business activity. Now, there's going to be some additional questions and some things that they're going to want to know. But that's the best thing to do when you're trying to build business credit. You want to build a relationship with the lender so that the lender, you're not coming to the lender brand new. Right. Like here's a great example. If I was down and out and I needed to borrow like $200. Right. And I had two options. I can go to my friend, my best friend in real life. I've known him since the fifth grade. We went to elementary school together. We went to middle school together.
Yep.
We went to high school together. We got a scholarship to go to the same college, and we were college roommates together. He was the best man at my wedding. I am the godfather of his children, right? And he is the godfather of my children. Now, I could ask my best friend who's known me for years, or I can run up to you and ask you for money. What's the likelihood of me being able to get that loan between someone who doesn't know me, who I'm just walking in that door, and a person who's known me for all these years?
Not likely at all.
Right. So you want to build a relationship. That's why it's just crazy to me when people with these small businesses, and they were like, okay, where should I go now to get a loan? Well, hell, man, who have you been building a relationship that has shown that you're trustworthy enough to pay the loan back? Always put your feet in the shoes of the person who you're asking money for.
Okay.
Right? And that's the best way. But if you want to be able to deal with probably a small local bank, a credit union, build that relationship, let them know who you are, the type of business that you're doing. Do good business. That's the second part. Do good business, because there's far too many startup companies that are running out trying to get loans for a business that either doesn't exist yet, has no history. It's like, why would I give you money to play with? Like you, I'm not going to give you money. The only time you get money to play with is when they give you like a credit card. It's like, yeah, sure. Go play with this credit card that has like 25% interest. Yeah, go play with this. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to actually give you operating capital if you haven't proved that you actually have a good business plan that actually brings in money. But yeah, that would be my advice.
Okay. So would you say, because I have a Navy Federal account, I just haven't too much dabbled with it as of recently, but I do have that account.
Okay.
It's about 2019, 2020.
All right. Now, I got a couple of questions for you about this Navy Federal bank account that you got with the Navy Federal Credit Union. Okay. Number one, when you got this Navy Federal account, do you actually have a family member that was in the military? Or were you one of the people who got convinced by these online scammers who say, oh, just tell them that someone like your great-great-grandfather was in the military and you just can't find...
Actually, not at all. My older brother was in the military.
Okay, so you're not within the realm of all the scammers who've been... Because I'm telling you, Navy Federal is going to have a lot of stuff that they're going to need to clean up, because these scammers have been targeting Navy Federal for the past couple of years now. So you're not...
I had that account for some time. I haven't did anything with it yet, okay. Even since the PPP, all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Good. I just want to set the record straight on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Disclaimer. Okay.
You legitimately have a Navy federal account. Okay. Perfect.
Yes, I do. I'm trying to do right by it.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I would go back and make sure you set up a business checking account with them.
Because now you
got this new business, right? Set up the business checking account with Navy Federal and do good business. If you do good business, then obviously they'll see the success of the business. They'll see that you'll have the ability to pay back whatever loan that you would be requesting, and you move forward that way. Now, I'm not a big believer in getting credit cards to finance a startup.
I don't want to do anything crazy. I'm just doing like small, like if anything, like, because I haven't even got my, I already made my actual logos. I already drew them out myself, but I haven't actually had somebody to actually make them, make it tangible yet, so I can actually trademark it, you know? So that's the next step I want to do, and actually pay somebody to actually make it for me, Illustrator or Photoshop, whatever the case may be, and then be able to trademark it. So to do it at small levels and then build from there.
Okay, but remind me, what business are you in again?
Music.
Yeah, but in what capacity?
I'm a literally independent music producer.
Okay, so you produce music?
Yes.
All right. I think you need to be more focused on producing music than producing logos.
Well, I already made the logo. It's just like something that I just wanted to have a face. So when I put something out, it's just already there as well.
I got you. But I'm just using this as an example.
Okay.
Because there's so many people who are looking and they're trying to add these extra things to their so-called brand, right? What they ultimately end up doing, they're putting the cart before the horse. Because I'm telling you, if you have great music, right, and you're doing great, I don't care what your logo is, right? If you are making great beats and you put your name in the beat, you know how all you young kids do. I feel like I'm so old now. I'll be 39 in a couple of days now. But you know how they say
about your age,
right? When people say, you hear music and it'd be like so and so on the track, or whatever you kids do nowadays,
Yeah.
That is more important than your logo. The fact that you're making good music. And that people can identify your sound. When they hear the beat, I know this is a so-and-so beat. Because you probably said it before the song came on and towards the end of the song. Or you were smart enough to convince the rapper when they started rapping on the song, say, shouts out to so-and-so for the beat or something like that so that you can get out there. But that's the most important thing. I don't care about the logo. I don't care about you getting the logo, trademark. All of that is extra. That's the stuff that comes after you are successful in your craft. You need to be 100% locked in on being successful in your craft. You shouldn't be worried about, because I'm telling you, the trademark and the copyright process can be tiresome. It can be a long process depending on what attorney you get and what you're trying to get trademarked. It can be a back and forth process. You don't have the time to be focusing on getting some sort of logo trademarked. You need to be making beats. You need to be making beats, getting those beats in front of the industry people who matter, in front of the artists who matter, and making a name for yourself with the beat. The logo and all that other BS comes later, after you first become successful in the craft.
I got you, Paco Washer. I got you. I got you.
That should be your number one priority. Make sense?
I got you. Yeah. All right,
brother. That. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Okay.
I appreciate you. Take care.
All right. You have a good one. All right, people. Listen, I only got a little bit left. I got like less than 10 minutes with y'all. So don't be calling me with 2 minutes left and then have this 8-minute conversation that you want to have. I cannot do it. Okay. But give me a call, 314-969-6900. I will go back to the questions on pocketwatcher.net. Just click that Ask JT button. Oh, Lord, I got a long one. I got to skip this one. That one's too long. We're going to say that one for next week. All right, I'm going to here's a question from Jeff. So Jeff says, I think I might have read this one before, but let me get it again. No, this is just similar. Okay, so Jeff says, what's good, JT? I have been an accounting professional for 5 years now. I'm thinking about doing the VITA tax assistance program for the upcoming tax season. I remember you talking about it during a live stream. Can you briefly tell me about your experience with VITA and maybe how I can help? It can help my career. Thanks for all you do. All right, Jeff. Yeah, this is a new question. I haven't seen this one before. So listen, people, let me explain what VITA is. VITA is the Volunteers in Tax Assistance Program that is sponsored by the Internal Revenue Service. Okay. What this is free tax preparation clinics for people who are low income and for the elderly. Now, most people get involved in the VITA program normally when you're in school and you're in some sort of accounting or a personal finance course. And what happens is they're going to train you how to prepare basic to advanced tax returns. They're going to, for free, no cost to you, for free, they're going to train you how to properly prepare a tax return. The lessons are online. You, depending on the sponsoring organization, because you can do it through local colleges. I personally do it through the National Association of Black Accountants. I'm also a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, who is also an organization that around the country we participate in the VITA program. So I kind of got two organizations that I'm a part of that are deeply involved in the VITA program. This is how I was first preparing tax returns through the VITA program. This is how you learn how to prepare a tax return, work with clients, review tax returns, check for errors. So this is a great opportunity for someone who either doesn't have any experience whatsoever in tax preparation, or maybe you just have a limited level of experience with tax preparation. It's a great opportunity for you to, one, help the community, and also, two, get a hands-on experience. So I think it would be awesome for you if you want to expand your career in tax to be able to do this, because you'll be helping the community and also you will be learning how to become a tax professional. So I think you should do it. I had a great experience. But let me go back to the phone lines. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
Hey, JT, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What's going on?
I got a question. It's for a friend of mine. It'll be real quick because I know you don't have much time left. Mm-hmm. They have a business, an LLC, and they want to name someone the owner of the LLC, and they wanted to know, could they use that LLC with the name of that person being owner to pay themselves? Is that a legal fraudulent activity or like that, or is that legal once they name that person the owner?
Okay, so I got 4 minutes. I'm going to try to do my best to wrap this up. If I don't fully answer this question this time, I'm going to give you some time on my Wednesday show just to make sure that I get this information out. But what it sounds like for some reason, this person does not want to be the owner of record of this company. And my question would be like, why can't they just own the company outright and also be paid from the company? So that right there, to me, there's some red flags as to why they have issues with owning the company. Now, as far as it being legal, yeah, it's absolutely legal. If there's some sort of, but they can't be trying to hide their assets, right? There's a difference between something being legal, but then trying to hide their assets for a particular reason, because what could come out is they are actively trying to hide their assets for some reason. And that may be the thing that gets them in trouble. But if there's an LLC and they want to make someone the owner of the LLC, and then they become some sort of either employee or independent contractor of the LLC. I mean, yeah, there's ways to do it legally. But to me, what this sounds like, it sounds like this person is trying to jump through a lot of hoops because they want to avoid something. There's something that they're trying to avoid. And because they're unable to deal with whatever this issue is directly, they're looking for legal loopholes to get around the actual issue. So my advice to you and that person, probably give me a call either on Wednesday or one of my Friday shows where I can give you a little bit more detail because I only have a few moments left here. But what it speaks to me is they're trying to avoid something and they're looking for a legal way to avoid something. The pocket watch is going to need a little bit more detail to give them better guidance. Is that all right?
Okay. Sounds good, JT.
All right. All right. Thank you for calling up. I appreciate it. All right, people, we are closing out this show. Thank you guys so much for, you know, really being a supporter of the brand. There's so many things that I'm trying to get done that I'm very excited that I want to announce to you guys, but there's so much work that needs to get done. But I am committed. I will be releasing a free online course to teach you how to get out of debt. This is a process that I personally use. This is a process that I advise clients to use. It is a three-step process. How, if you are in debt, if you use this process, this will help you get out of debt. I'm not teaching you how to become a multimillionaire, gazillionaire, trillionaire. That's not my job. I'm going to leave that to the scammers to sell you thousands of dollars of courses on teaching you how to become a multi-billionaire. Pocket Watching with JT, Certified Financial Planner. I'm going to provide you guys by the end of this month a free course on how to get out of debt. That is what I'm going to do for you guys. Thank you so much for your support. Make sure you check me out on YouTube. Go to Pocket Watching with JT on YouTube. Check out my website, pocketwatcher.net. If you want to book a personal consultation, click that button. I will see you guys later this week. Have a good one. Thank you.